Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children.
One of the last decent, good Republicans, in my view. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. So each of those 59 or 60 Tomahawk missiles we fired off last night, about $1.5 million apiece. So we blew about $87 million on an impressive fireworks display. And look, got a lot of airtime. I saw it all over CNN, saw it all over Fox News. It was all over the place. In fact, videos of it on my phone, you know, all morning blowing up, and no pun intended there, but blowing up my phone. And look, you know, we're going to find out, you know, was this a change of heart or was this a wag the dog moment? Just blows my mind. But at the end of it, what we need is we need people who are going to be in the halls of power, even though, you know, the president did not go to Congress, but we need good, honest, decent folks in elected office, which I've asked our next guest, Matt Parthasarathy, to come talk with us. Matt, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me back on, Rick.
So, you know, you look at this, what happened last night. I'm curious your thought.
Well, you know, I got to be honest, I was shocked by the boldness of what the president did, considering that he had blamed Obama or actually warned or tweeted at Obama not to get involved militarily in Syria. And so then he turns around and does the exact same thing. So I was really surprised by that.
I was too, and it comes back to, did he have a change of heart? And there are some who are saying that he did. And if he did, you know, okay, I get that. But, you know, it just seems odd that, you know, with all of the arrows pointing at, you know, you had the Supreme Court thing, you've got the polling numbers, you've got the Russia investigation. There just seems to be a lot of convenience, in my view, that this just seemed like the right kind of crisis to take advantage of.
Right. And also, if you notice, this morning, the jobs report came out, and they believe that in March, a lot fewer jobs were added than they originally expected. So, you know, you're right. There is a potential perception that, you know, this is just something to mask some of the jobs reports, the sliding approval numbers, the continuing investigation into Russia. Absolutely right. You made a comment earlier before, just in the lead-in, about getting congressional approval. You know, there are provisions, as you know, in the War Powers Resolution, the 1973 War Powers Resolution, that give presidents some leeway.
Right.
Every president has used it. Bush used it. Obama used it. Trump apparently is using that as well. The question that I have, I'm sure you and your viewers have as well, is where's the legal justification for this? I mean, were we directly under threat as a result of this gas attack on the Syrian people? Or, as you said, is this more of a convenience thing to just take the spin off and move the distraction somewhere else?
Right. And that's not just you and I saying this. That's, you know, Rand Paul saying that, you know, the president violated the Constitution by not going to Congress. And interestingly enough, we used to do that. In fact, to the day, 100 years to the day, you had Woodrow Wilson going to Congress and getting a declaration of war to get into World War I.
Exactly. The other thing I want to mention is, you know, we talk about the weight of the office changes the person, and I accept that. I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but even if you give that benefit of the doubt and say, look, you know, he saw these photos. First of all, let's just back up here a second. We know this president reacts to social media. We know he reacts to things he sees on TV as opposed to actually having informed dialogue and debate with his advisors.
Right.
So up comes the pictures of these women, children, babies, men as well. that have been attacked by this this gas attack. And question I have is, did you turn around and order this attack because of these pictures you saw on TV? That's really, really troubling, as opposed to having a debate with your advisors and thinking through the consequences. Maybe that happened, but given past experience from what we've seen and what we've heard from this president, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a knee-jerk reaction based on what he saw on TV.
And that's really the scariest part of all, because what next? Because when it escalates, and this has the potential of escalating, because as I said in the last segment, the Russians have now said that they're suspending their agreement with us on potential mid-air incidents over Syria. So that could mean if two fighter planes see each other, there could be a firefight. And you could see that escalation taking us to places that I don't know that a lot of us want to go.
Right. Right. And one of the reports I saw this morning was that there were Russian soldiers on this airfield that was hit. So now you've got casualties on the Russian side as well. Is there going to be retaliation for that? There's also some conspiracy theorists out there saying that, this was actually coordinated with Russia. So I'm not really sure. And right now, I don't think anyone's really sure of what the truth is.
Yep.
I will say one thing, though, that really bothers me, and it bothers me tremendously, and I'm sure it bothers a lot of people, right? Here you've got this president saying, I've had a change of heart. I saw these images and this video. I've read the reports of what happened, and this is just awful, and I'm going to, my position on Assad has changed, and I'm going to order this strike because these innocent children and women should not have to endure what they endured with this gas attack. Keep in mind that those children and women are the same ones that his two travel bans tried to block. So let's spare the crocodile tears and call a spade a spade.
Right. No, I agree. And the other part of this is, again, there's a civil war going on there. We don't know which side to be on. And I don't think we do. I don't think we know which is the right side, because it seems every time we meddle in other countries' affairs, we seem to always pick the worst option.
You're right. We always do. And I also find it interesting that, this president came in and said, we're not going to be the world's policeman anymore. And Hillary Clinton, thank God she's not the president, because she's a warmonger and she would have just taken us into World War III. And she wants us to be the world's policeman. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put America first, and we're not going to be the world's policeman anymore. And here we are, 11 weeks into his presidency. And what do? We actually go in and we're the world's policeman in a situation that actually did not even affect our country.
Yeah. So the question then becomes, and you've just come back from overseas, what does the world look at us? I mean, is this going to raise his profile as, because look, he said we're basically going to isolate ourselves. We're not going to do any of this interventionist stuff. Because look, it could play that, look, he's fighting for the babies. He made that point in his 2-minute speech a couple of times. It was about the babies. And immediately I thought back to the first Iraq war and the candy striper who said that the Iraqi soldiers were bayoneting babies in the hospital, which wasn't true, but it's where my mind went, because we have this visceral reaction to, especially when you're talking about babies.
Right. So I was in the UK for a week. I was in London and I was in Cardiff. And what I found was that, a lot of the people that I talked to in London particularly don't really have a very good view of him. Now, surely there are people without doubt that think he's doing, the right thing in terms of, there's a lot of parallels between Brexit and this America First policy. So surely he's got a lot of sympathizers in the UK as well. Many of the people that I've met did not have a favorable view of Trump, despite the fact that they were very pro-Brexit. So I think despite what just happened, with Syria and this trying to reposition Trump as the protector of oppressed children and babies and whatever, I think most people's opinions of Trump have largely already been made. And it's not a very good opinion.
So do you see a bump coming out of this? Because I said last night I see a 10-point bump. I see his polling numbers going up to about 45, and hey, mission accomplished. But, you know, from what you're saying, people have already made up their minds. Do you think that sways?
Yeah, I think you know, public opinion is a fickle thing. I think there are people that are on the bubble or sort of in the middle that will sway one way or the other. Certainly, you've got people that are further on the left or the right. Their opinions have been made. Sure, there are people in the middle that will swing one way or the other. I agree with you. I think there's going to be a bump. I don't know how big it is. I mean, 10 points, 8 to 10 points seems like a reasonable number, but I really believe that number is going to come right back down after this. It's going to be a temporary bump. And whatever response comes from Russia or Syria as a result of this, is potentially going to have a negative impact on his polling numbers in the long run.
Yeah, because nobody, I've met no one who's ready to go to a full-scale war. I've met no one in my personal life who said, yeah, we should be sending troops, putting boots on the ground and all of that.
I think we're very weary after, Afghanistan and Iraq and this ongoing struggle with ISIS. We're all very weary of that. You know, there's something to be said for launching 50 Tomahawk missiles from an offshore, several ships, guided missile cruisers that are offshore. But, you know, physically putting American troops on the ground in harm's way is a much harder sell. And I don't think there's a stomach for that. I agree. Now,
but you've got the Hawks. You've got Lindsey Graham. You've got John McCain. Or, hey, let's get in there and get our hands dirty.
Yeah, but, you know, those guys are also not huge Trump supporters as well. I honestly don't see McCain or Graham supporting putting boots on the ground in Syria. It is a significantly different story in Syria, right, than let's say, you know, fighting insurgents in Afghanistan. I mean, Syria is still a country, it's still governed by this guy Assad. He's got a standing army. And there are several sides here. You've got the Syrian military, you've got rebels, and you've got Russia. And I don't really see us getting involved with boots on the ground with all of those sides at stake here.
No, I'm with you. But, you know, again, as unpredictable, as incoherent, and as bizarre as this president can be, my fear is, again, like you said, maybe he sees an image, maybe Fox News says something, and the idea sparks in his head, bang, we're in deep you know what.
Yeah, that's a different story, Rick. You're right about that. His reaction and what he proposes to do as a result of that is very unpredictable. I don't see, you know, even the hawks in Congress, guys like McCain, for example, are more rational and deeper thinkers than this president is. I don't see them being swayed, but the same can't be said for the unpredictability of the president.
What do you say to the person, though, who, you know, and I got this last night, you know, well, what do we do? I mean, you see this horrible tragedy, you see this horrible chemical, this attack, this, you know, and look, again, I don't know if Assad's people dropped it or if what the Russians are saying, that it was in a warehouse, that a bomb dropped on. Who knows what the actual truth is? But what as a citizen of this country, what would we want to do? What would the answer be? You know, what are you thinking?
Well, I think the thing that you don't want to do is say, you know, we're not thinking regime change anymore. Right. I mean, that's the dumbest thing you potentially could say, which just enables these types of things. Right. So you don't want to do that. Fundamentally, I think the end strategy for us should be regime change. And I think use every means at your disposal, barring putting boots on the ground. And I'm not saying take that option off the table. I'm saying that there are, you know, you escalate to that. But. You know, starting with diplomatic maneuvers and putting pressure through sanctions and various other things to force regime change, and recognizing you cannot do that unilaterally. You have other people at stake here. You have neighbors Syrian neighbors like Jordan, for example. You've got Russia that has a stake in the country. You've got to get coalition partners in to apply diplomatic pressure to force regime change. But leaving all those options on the table. That's on the one side. On the other side, in terms of the victims of this ongoing tragedy, what we need to do is we need to be leading the way in terms of supporting those people through NGOs, non-government organizations, through various charities, as well as government support of making sure that those people have food, medicine, and healthcare, as well as the refugee policy, because you can't decouple these what's happening with the travel ban and the refugees from this ongoing war. I mean, people are trying to leave they're trying to leave Syria because it's an unsafe place. So here you go and you strike these airfields, which is just going to further worsen the situation, creating a bigger outflux of people. Those people need a place to go. So you need to then make sure that while you're pressuring diplomatically, while you're supporting NGOs, you also have a policy in place to accept people, or at least find a place for those people to escape the misery and tragedy that currently is in Syria.
Yeah, you see, that sounds difficult. It's much easier to push a button and shoot off some missiles.
Exactly. It is much easier to do that.
Yeah, I mean, because what you just laid out costs money and time and energy, and we don't have time for that.
No, and you can't break it into sound bites either, right?
I mean, no, it doesn't play well on Fox News.
It doesn't play well on Fox News. It doesn't play well on Twitter.
But then again, rarely is the right thing to do ever easy to put into a bumper sticker.
Well, welcome to the world of leading the free world.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and this is the sad reality of the world in which we live in. I mean, just mind blowing. And I know this isn't what I had you to come on to talk about, but I do want to get to running for office and getting all that stuff. How are things going with the big campaign?
So we have a week to go. A week from this coming Monday is the election for the chair and vice chair position for the Madison, Connecticut Democratic Party, and I am running for the vice chair of the Madison Democratic Party, and I've been meeting with a lot of people, a lot of emails, a lot of discussions, a lot of talking to the press, talking to people like you, in terms of what I want to do, in terms of how we do things differently, and how we Democrats up our message and get people involved and effectively grow the party. And there's a lot of there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of, people being, you've heard the term people, being woke, want to channel that energy and bring it into the party. So there's a lot of energy that we're trying to channel. Frankly, I'm pretty energized about it. The election is going to be a week from this coming Monday, so on the 17th. So looking forward to it. And that's a party leadership position. Yeah. And then in the fall, in November, we will have municipal elections. So I'm still weighing those options. I haven't made any decisions yet in terms of any municipal seats that I may want to pursue.
Yeah, good on you. I mean, as I say to everybody, and the reason I think it's important to talk to folks like you, Matt, is that people local get involved, get active, get energized. That's how we change things. The website, if you want to take a look at it, mattforct.org. We'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Matt, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Rick, thanks very much.
Always great talking with you. Matt Parthasarathy, quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.